Intergalactic
episode of the Intergalactic Graphic Review. Yes, we actually have a title this time.
Titles. It's too bad we had to steal it from that guy, Michael Bailey. Poor Michael Bailey. Hopefully he'll walk again. So we can murder him more.
Why are you trying to scare our friends? By the way, this is my co-host, Edwin. You know, usually I keep him locked in the closet because of, you know, things like this.
Because scaring people is amusing.
And because it's early in the morning and you need your chips.
Chips.
Ow, 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 ow. Please put the chips down.
Those are my Velcro restraints.
For making my ears bleed.
That's just because you're a giant pussy.
By the way, before we go on, this podcast is explicit. Just you.
They know it's explicit from the tag on the web page or in the app. You don't need to tell them.
Yeah, but I put explicit on my tongue prerogative, and there are times where I don't say anything cursive at all.
My god, you are the biggest... You're either incredibly lazy or the biggest girl.
Or we have a boss that says, if I get a plane, I'm taking it down.
Oh my god. So, it's the latter.
Yeah. So, anyways. So, on this episode of the Intergalactic Graphic Review, it's a new year. And I thought, you know, and Edwin agreed with me, which is a rare thing.
True, I barely ever do.
Yeah. That, you know, maybe we should do an episode about the top, maybe some of the things we can hope that the industry will do to grow in 2015. Because it did grow in 2014, and that's a good thing, whether you like some of the stories or not. But still, you know. Yeah, there's definitely more grooming that can be done. At least, and mind you, we're talking about the comic book, whether both print and digital, but still the comic book side of it. Not necessarily the movie side of it. So that is part of it, but just in general, the comic book industry. So, of course, before we get to that, we have news. We have news to go over.
Never do that again. Never, ever, ever, ever do that voice again.
You mean news?
Or I will find you, and I will make it that there is no more you to do it.
Only if you can get past my bodyguard, Lucid.
I can take it. Actually, he just let me through.
I'm about to say, hey, Lucid Dream, you hear that? Edwin says he can take you.
And by take him, I mean ask him nicely, and he'd just let me through, considering, well, he'd probably think it was funny for me to kick your ass.
Damn it.
You know I'm right.
That's why I said damn it. That was the sound of me begrudgingly agreeing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very unique sound. As for news, I guess we'll start off with one of the more recent ones. Apparently, Supergirl has found its Jimmy Olsen.
And he's black. Oh well.
Well, I only have one issue with this. You'd think I would have the article in front of me.
I only care about one thing as far as Jimmy Olsen is concerned. That he is God's chew toy.
God's chew toy?
Chew toy? Chew toy.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I don't,
chew
yeah,
joy.
Yes.
That's a big today.
I'm the one that's supposed to be hungover.
Again, I'm trying to find the name of the gentleman. And I apologize for that. But my one issue is not so much that it's a black character. It's that they're changing one character when they already have a goddamn African American character in the current New 52 Supergirl comic. And I'm blanking on his name, and so I apologize.
Yeah, but he's not that's the problem. You're blanking on his name.
Well, yeah, he's a new character, and I understand that. But again, if part of the point is to get people to read the comic...
Yeah, but you... That's not... The point of that isn't to get people to read the comic, these TV shows. The point of the TV show is to make money unto itself using an existing property.
That's true, but at the same point in time... You know, ultimately, you want people to come in and read the comic. And part of it is that, again, you have an African-American character who is currently Supergirl's love interest, who is going to be, so why not use that character in the TV series? By the way, it's McCade Brooks. Excuse me, I finally got to it.
Okay, as long as, you know, I don't... You know we're going to see captions considering Kara is blonde. Well, she was originally blonde and all that stuff. We're probably going to see at least one, where are the white women at? And anybody who laughs at that is awful. I like how we just shut you up right there.
No, I was trying to find the name. Can you repeat that again? I apologize. I was looking for the name of the characters currently in New 52.
No, the joke is done. Now, what I'm actually going to say is, I do agree with you on one set. They do have existing black characters that they could have used, so this is almost unnecessary.
And that's my issue.
Because you have Ron Troop, who is established, who is actually steeped in the Superman mythology as a reporter at the Daily Planet. And you also have, wait for it, Keith White, Perry White's son. Adopted, but still Perry White's son.
And I understand that, but I'm also saying that if again, people are going to, let's say somebody watches TV like, oh, I never saw Supergirl. Oh, wow, this series is awesome. I want, maybe I'll get interested in the New 52 Supergirl. And they open up the comic book, and they see Kara kissing her boyfriend, at the time, still her boyfriend, which I hope so, because I think they make a great couple. And they're like, oh, so this is Jimmy Olsen. I'm like, oh, that's not Jimmy Olsen. Like, but no, who's this character? And isn't Jimmy Olsen supposed to be her boyfriend?
And you know what's going to happen? They're going to go, oh, okay, and keep reading. Jimmy Olsen not being white or not being black. I mean, look, I hate the people
that's
who are already...
That's no problem with that. That's not my problem.
No, it's not a game breaker. It's not a game breaker for new readers.
My problem isn't that it's black, it's that he's going to be her boyfriend and black when you have a black boyfriend already in a comic.
Okay, let me rephrase that. Jimmy Olsen being different and the dynamic being different is not a game changer.
I guess not, it's just that...
excuse me.
I think that the character, and again, I'm blanking on his name and I apologize... And I know you're going to sit there and say that shows he's not a great character. But again, he's not had that many appearances. And again,
it's not that he's not a great
I blank on names all the time. It's not, we know this, that I blank on names. But
it's not that he's not a great character. It's that he's not established.
But how can he get established if people don't know him? This is a great opportunity to establish this character. And I think it's a great... For all the talk about...
You need to... characters to establish them. Even, especially since this has been in development since... It's not like this just went into development. This has been in development for years, probably.
And, no, it's only been in development for at least 6 months.
Okay. But these are people who are pitching it and thinking about this. It's not like...
I'm sure they talked with the actual writers and they could have told him about this character. And again, understand, I think it's a very, this character could be a, we'll talk about role models later, but again, it's a very inspirational character. He's an African-American who's a paraplegic, he's in a wheelchair, he survived a car crash, and lives on his own. And he doesn't let again, you have, there's a connection here, I think, with Superman fans, because you have that whole thing. He's very much like, dare I say it, he's very much like Christopher Reeves. And sort of the very inspirational life that Christopher Reeves lived after his accident.
We've gone into my issue with quadrant paraplegics in the DC universe.
I don't remember it.
Okay, here's the little rundown. It makes no sense.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
You mean the whole, why is anybody ever injured?
Not even, why is anybody ever injured? Cyborg exists. Magic exists. Space medicine and aliens exist. You would think someone would have released that technology. The idea that people still deal with the same crap we do in a world as ridiculous as the DC universe is absolute garbage. Because someone is bound to... We have people in the real world making prosthetics out of 3D printed material. They have ways to do that even cheaper in that world.
But my counter-argument... I'll counter that argument with Family Guy.
Oh, for the love of God.
Remember the episode where Joe got new legs?
No, I don't watch Family Guy.
Okay. So there's an episode where Joe gets new legs and it changes him, but it changes him for the worst. And part of it is that it felt like cheating. And I think, maybe there are characters that don't feel like they want to, they would love to walk again, but at the same point in time, they want to do it on their own. They don't want to take some magical cheat code.
Here's a hint. For the most part, for most people, there is no on your own for spinal cord damage. Barbara Gordon was never getting up on her own unless somebody performed a magical surgery to fix her spine.
But she was probably more useful when she was in the wheelchair as Oracle than she was as Batgirl.
Okay, it's not the wheelchair that made her useful, it was her computer skills. And giving her legs again doesn't change the fact that her best use is as Oracle.
But part of it is also the fact that, yes, we can do this in a fictional world, but in the real world, there are no superheroes with magic that can magically just heal.
But this isn't the real world. This isn't the real world. This is the DC universe. You can't say...
But those characters are inspirational to people who have to deal with injuries like that.
Look, it probably is inspirational, but narratively, it makes no goddamn sense.
But this is comic books. There's a lot of things that don't make any sense. Honestly, both the DC and Marvel Universe should have been destroyed 10 times over with the stupid shit that's happened.
Oh my god, yes.
Okay? So yes, are there narrative stuff that doesn't make sense that are done because of certain reasons? Absolutely. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's bad. So yes, could AIDS be cured and could people not be paraplegic? Absolutely. But at the same point in time, there is a reason because, again, it creates it's conflict. There's also narrative reasons to why.
By the way, how's Mia Dearden doing?
I don't think she's in the new 52.
Okay, how was her AIDS at the end of the old 52? Did anyone even remember that?
Well, she was taking medication that was actually, I believe, healing her. She didn't have HIV.
You don't heal HIV.
Oh, well, but she was taking medication that was, like, if I remember right, and people, please correct me if I'm wrong on this, but if I remember right, because I got the issues, because I was getting Green Arrow towards the end of 52.
Steroids, the cocktails and that, yeah.
Nah. Because, yeah, I jumped on when I heard him and Black Canary getting married, because, damn it, they should be married. But anyways,
So how's that...
She was taking... There was, like, this futuristic medication that could possibly take away her age. Like, it was, like... I don't want to call it a miracle drug, but it was... In the storyline, she was taking something. Again, this is around the time she ends up meeting Manchester Black, and they start a relationship.
Okay. Now, remember what you just said about inspirational characters and not getting rid of it?
Okay. Yeah, but here, there was a natural thing to it. It was, I believe the pill was like a suppression pill or something like that. She still had it. And that was part of the whole storyline with Manchester Black, is that she starts to like him, but she stays away because, you know, I have AIDS. And it's like, I don't care. And they kiss.
That's another problem altogether, because she stays away because I have AIDS. You know, instead of the fact that stay away because Manchester Black is a freaking lunatic.
Oh, AIDS? No, I'm keeping HIV.
Okay, she's... Well, I have HIV. And that's staying away because Manchester Black is a lunatic. And a sociopath.
Well, I think it's like a new Manchester Black.
Okay.
I think.
Oh. Okay.
Again, I have to go back and read the story. Again, if anybody's listening, please correct us.
And by...
Wow, I didn't expect us to go this deep into this topic.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you had another one about the Jessica Jones series.
So, they've cast the Purple Man, a.k.a. Thaddeus Kilgrave, or whatever his name is. And it is, wait for it, the Tenth Doctor. David Tennant is now playing Thaddeus Kilgrave.
And at one moment, hundreds and hundreds of millions of Doctor Who fans blew their effing wads.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know what, it's good that he's getting roles.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. By the way, people have found it interesting that it seems like, you know, there's been a lot of former Doctor Who actors being cast in Marvel movies recently.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be really awesome when Tom Baker plays Doctor Strange.
Oh yes, it's going to be. That's going to be really awesome as well. Again, I'm not as knowledgeable about Jessica. I mean, I know that she's married to Power Girl. I mean, not Power Girl.
That's a whole different series, and man, that has its own following, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, Power Man in the Marvel universe. And I really loved their relationship when I was reading New Avengers.
I love the fact that when looking for his wife and child, when they go missing, he stops to go beat up a drug dealer and, you know, and a buyer.
To get information?
What? No, just because he sees a deal going on and he goes and beats them up because you're a drug dealer. Because that's who Luke Cage is.
Yes. I like Luke Cage. Again, we're going to get into diversity again a little bit later. The conversation, folks, you just heard on Supergirl, it's just a taste of what's to come.
I am so sorry, all of you.
Hello with you. No, but I think it'll do good again. I don't have much experience with it. But again, all these series are going to be interesting because these are Netflix series.
Which means they're going to try to push edgy as much as they can.
And, you know, again, remember, of course, Jessica Jones had her own series on Alias.
Huh. Wait, are you joking or?
Well, that's where the character came from. Jessica Jones was a Brian Michael Bendis character from Alias.
The TV show?
Yeah.
Oh.
You didn't know that?
Because this is the sound of a person that knew that.
So my question is, in this new TV series, are we going to have the former women's wrestler Lita come in and break her neck again? And that was a joke I did just for wrestling fans.
All six of you listening to this.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was only six, because it'd be all my friends over from the WrestleCast.
So all six of them.
And for those wondering, I'll do it real quick. In Alias, WWE superstar Lita did a guest spot, and in the guest spot, she ended up breaking her neck, and it put her out for 6 months.
Scintillating.
Yeah. Last piece of news. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the only problem with that is, it's like the whole idea with her and Kilgrave, and he kidnapped her for a ridiculously long period of time, and basically sexually manipulated her, though he never touched her, and it's all just so masturbatory.
As a lot of comics are, or at least as by the suggestion of Mary Sue.
Well, when I say masturbatory, I don't mean masturbation as in sexual. I mean masturbatory as in self-important.
Yeah.
They're basically jerking themselves off to their own cleverness.
Wait. Let me get this straight. Marvel jerking themselves off at their own cleverness? That would never, ever happen. I mean, what type of company would Joe Quesada run if he thought that jerking off at his own cleverness was a thing? I mean, you would never see that from a writer, say, like, oh, I don't know, Dan Slott.
I'm sorry, what?
I hate you so much. Huh? Moving on to the final title.
Power Girl has a symbol that isn't cleavage. News
at 11. No, that's next month.
Ah, right.
They've announced more about Secret Wars, and apparently everything is coming to an end. And I stopped giving a care about everything coming to an end after, not Civil War, but, Secret War, not Secret War. What was the one that where the Skrulls came back?
Secret Invasion.
After Secret Invasion, I stopped caring about this event, the world will be destroyed. Right.
And, however, on lighter news, Miles Morales comes to the 616.
Yep, pretty much.
And and that's good.
Somebody did a list of like the 10 ultimate comic characters that they need to bring over. And I say there needs to be more than 10, first of all. Anybody that was a part of the Ultimates needs to be brought over. So Cloak and Dagger, Bombshell,
Wife-beating Hank Pym.
No. I'm talking about the Ultimate series that just finished. That was a teenage. Part of it was Miles Morales. You had Black Widow, which was formerly Spider-Girl, which was the clone of Peter Parker from issue 100 of Ultimate Spider-Man, who's been a part of the universe.
Actually, her I can understand, because...
Yeah, she is a great character.
And not even that. Peter needs a female clone of himself running around just to keep it... Just to, you know, mess with his head.
Yeah. So Miles Morales, her, Kitty Pryde, Cloak and Dagger, and a character by the name of Bombshell, who, again, I love because I've loved her evolution in the Ultimate Universe. She started off as part of this mother-daughter villain team that had the ability to blow stuff up. And then she, after getting caught numerous times by Peter Parker, she there was an attempt to reform her, and she was basically sent to the same school, and she became friends. And Peter Parker helped her out and befriended her. And then, of course, he died, and then eventually she met up with Miles and became part of the Ultimates. So I've really enjoyed her character on that standpoint.
I do kind of love the fact that Ultimate Peter is is MC2 Mayday. I'll befriend you, my former enemy.
I like the fact that Ultimate Peter Parker is still, like, 16 years old, and yet he's still 20 times more responsible and adult than 616 Peter Parker.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of which, Ultimate Gwen Stacy, Ultimate Aunt May, and Ultimate Peter and Mary Jane, I'd love to see brought over as well.
Can we just replace the entire regular Spider-Man story with what's going on in the Ultimate Universe? Anybody?
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
Because honestly, at least whatever's going on right now, nobody needs.
Because honestly, at least the Peter Parker from the Ultimate Universe would fucking stand up for himself. Oh, but we can't have that, because people can't connect with that.
Oh, my God.
Yes, this is us bitching on Spider-Man.
Well, you know what? I'm still enjoying Spider-Verse, so I'll let that go. I am surprisingly enjoying the bits of Spider-Verse I'm seeing. It's just a ride.
It's a ride. I just wish it was written better and more coherently.
Dude, Leopardon came in, was destroyed, comes back.
Okay. I like the fan service. The fan service is fine. I'm not complaining about the fan service. I'm complaining about the story in the fan service.
Ben Reilly died like he was supposed to. Being awesome.
Some people would disagree with you on that. It's like, why do we have to kill Ben Reilly? Why can't we have him back?
In fact, I know. You know what? He died, but he died taking an entire facility full of these guys that were killing spiders. He died a hero. And considering most of the deaths in Spider-Verse, that's really cool.
Oh, actually, I was about to say, wait, Spider-Man was actually made to look like a hero? And then I remembered, oh, wait, no. The problem that Slott has is that he's okay with making every other Spider-Man other than Peter Parker look like a hero.
And he also, I think he enjoyed Peter beating the crap out of Doc Ock a bit.
No, he wouldn't. He says he loves Doc Ock more than he loves Peter.
He says things.
And until proven otherwise, I have to take that. Because he said them on the internet, so they must be true.
Yep.
And I was being completely sarcastic as Edwin decides it's time to move stuff. Or is it at just the fact that your laptop acting up again?
Actually, it was me ignoring you.
So, but again, as I said, they fully announced Secret Wars, and that pretty much the Marvel Universe is coming to an end. For those who don't know, basically, the Secret Wars, all these different universes are in like storylines are going to be put in these individual battle worlds, and by the end, apparently, they're all going to mend together, and it's going to form the new, I guess, streamlined Marvel Universe, a.k.a. this is Marvel's Crisis on Infinity Earths. Infinite Earths, excuse me. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, and I love how, because I was like, we don't need any crises. No, we don't need any of that crap. A few years later.
You know what? You know what would be better than you know what? I'll tell the people this. You know what would be better than getting Secret Worlds and something that's free as compared to spending the however much money Marvel's going to try to con out of you? I would instead go to 22freaks.com and check out the Tales of the JSA special proudly presents Crisis on Infinite Earths. Episode 1 is out now, featuring Michael Bailey and Scott Gardner.
You gigantic whore.
And I did that with no money needed.
Okay,
Scott Gardner, you can thank me later.
You're not even a whore, you're just a slut.
Don't make me have Scott Gardner throw you into the sun. Oh, by the way. By the way, I just said Scott Gardner's name 3 times. That means he's obligated to now listen to this.
That would mean he'd have to actually listen to this.
And then afterwards, he's going to tell us, like, what was this? I'm like, we're sorry.
No, you're sorry. I gave up that emotion. Cut it out. Added an extra awesome node. It was great.
Oh. Anyways, we're 40 minutes in, and that's it for news. I mean, what did you think? I mean, I guess, did you put your thoughts in for Secret Worlds and the Battle Wars and...
I'm just...
Battle Worlds, because I can speak tonight, or this morning.
I am... Damn it. I'm intrigued. That's about it. I'm just... So this is going to happen. I wonder what's going to happen, and I'm going to piggyback off my other friends who read comic books and have them tell me what's going on.
And read reviews on the internet, right?
No.
Why? You can't be trusted?
No, because I don't care enough.
No. So, I guess I'll agree with that. There is something intriguing about it, and I think everybody's going to be interested to see what happens. I'm just not going to be surprised when they decide... Well, what's everybody's favorite characters? All right, we're killing them off. Because Marvel, we are the slasher of comic book characters.
This is as opposed to the DC Universe, where they just went, hey, what's everybody's favorite character? Let's change everything that made people love them.
Exactly. Wow, we're in a bitchy mood this morning. Well, and I say that because you actually have an excuse. You're hungover.
I just don't like anybody. That doesn't explain the rest of the time why I'm like this.
Maybe we should change the name from Intergalactic Graphic Review to Two Grumpy Old Men.
Nobody would want to listen to that podcast.
We'll put the Odd Couple theme in front of it.
Which one of us gets to be Felix?
Who's sloppier?
No, wait, that's...
Oscar.
Oscar's the grump.
And Oscar's the grump. So, okay. Oh, that's right. So Felix is the neat one. So who's the neatest among us?
Are we going by appearance or apartment?
We're going by who eats chips and then when he's done eating the bag, picks up the little crumbs on the shirt like an otter and puts them back in his mouth. I'm the only one.
Yes.
I guess I'm Oscar.
That makes you the same, eh? That makes you the girl
here.
That makes
you Felix. That means you cook dinner. So, where's my dinner, bitch?
Let me get the forklift.
So, that's it. We're going to take a quick break where we're going to play some promos for some people, including people we've already pimped.
I am Michael Bailey.
And I am Jeffrey Taylor.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Imagine the world you have known all your life suddenly begins to change.
The changes are almost imperceptible at first. But soon, everything comes crashing around you.
Past and present contradict each other. History is no longer immutable.
Inconsistencies begin to pop up. New origins rendered stories only a few years old null and void.
Those long gone are no longer dead.
Worst of all, your friends and loved ones are vanishing. Or changing.
The very fabric of reality surrounding the DC Universe is unraveling.
In Smallville, Jor-El and Lara have returned to take Superman back to an unexploded Krypton.
In Metropolis, Superman is faced with a multitude of Batmen.
The time stream, made fragile by countless twists and myriad travelers, is now spinning out of control. Time is running out. Quickly.
Only the greatest heroes of every era and reality can stop this crisis in time.
And stop it they must, or the DC Universe will cease to exist, perhaps never to have existed at all.
The heroes and villains of the DC Universe are facing their Zero Hour.
In 1994, DC published Zero Hour, Crisis in Time, a 5-issue miniseries designed to fix some of the continuity issues that had cropped up since the conclusion of the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
This was a huge deal, and because of that, and because Superman played such a large part in that story, From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast, hosted by Jeffrey Taylor
and Michael Bailey,
will be covering the Superman issues, as well as Zero Hour itself.
We will also be looking at all of the official crossovers to the series, in addition to devoting several episodes to the follow-up event, Zero Month, where Superman meets a brand new enemy.
Conduit.
Zero Hour.
Zero Month.
Only at From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast. From Crisis to Crisis can be found at the Superman homepage, which is located at www.supermanhomepage.com, and is part of the Superman Podcast Network, which is located at www.supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
Also be sure to check out the Fortress of Baileytude, which is located at www.fortressofbaileytude.com. There you will find new episodes of From Crisis to Crisis, as well as all kinds of fun bits of business connected to Zero Hour and Zero Month.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Dad.
We need to record another new trailer.
Another one?
Yes. You know that we read comics and then talk about comics, because as we've established, talking about comics you've not read is just dumb.
Yeah, and you make me do it every Thursday.
Well, we've moved.
Have we?
Yes, we have outgrown our old location.
I don't feel like I've moved.
And we have now moved to twotruefreaks.com.
What was that again?
Twotruefreaks.com. Hey, Kids Comics, still every Thursday at twotruefreaks.com.
Greetings, podcast listener. Do you like...
Gotcha, Mom!
Or maybe...
Dragon Slay!
How about...
Tatsuo! Anida!
Or...
In the year 1999, an abandoned alien battle fortress crash-landed on the planet Earth. Our most brilliant scientists and engineers spent the next 10 years reconstructing the damaged ship and studying its highly advanced space technology called Robotech.
Do you remember...
Our Star Blazers!
Or this?
The year is after Colony 195. As the world constantly changes in the chaotic era, there are two mobile suits that could turn humans into the ultimate weapon. The Wing Zero, and the Epion.
Or maybe even this.
After the desire for blood rules all, the only hope left is the one they call D.
Or this.
Team, grappler ships dead ahead!
It wouldn't be fun otherwise. Let's do it!
Or...
If Cardis is allowed to be reborn, she'll destroy Marmo as well as Lodos.
Or have you seen the latest episode of...
And just like that, everything changed. At that terrible moment, in our hearts, we knew. Home was a pen. Humanity, cattle.
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you should check out Anime Freaks, hosted by Dr. Bill Robinson and me, Gene Hendricks. Anime Freaks is a monthly podcast covering all things anime. It is available at twotruefreaks.com. and on iTunes under Two True Freaks Presents Anime Freaks.
Superman.
Captain Marvel.
Batman.
It is 1985.
Robin of Earth 2.
Sergeant Rock.
The Legion of Superheroes.
This is the most eagerly awaited comic book event in 50 years.
Tommy Tomorrow.
Jonah Hex.
Commandy.
It will one day be called the greatest comic book event of all time.
Swamp Thing.
Wonder Woman.
The New Teen Titans.
The Haunted Tank.
Infinity Incorporated.
Worlds will live.
Green Arrow.
Worlds will die.
Supergirl.
The Flash.
And that is only the beginning.
The Justice League of America.
The All-Star Squadron.
The Huntress.
Arion.
The Metal Man.
Firestorm. The Nuclear Man.
The Outsiders.
Green Lantern.
The Blue Beetle.
The Crime Syndicate.
Warlord.
The Guardians of the Universe.
Tales of the Justice Society of America proudly presents...
And many, many more.
Crisis on Infinite Earths. The DC Universe will never be the same.
Coming January, only at twotruefreaks.com.
And welcome back to the podcast that not only has squirrels in its walls, but also drops calls when the word pornography is mentioned.
See, they didn't know that. You know, let's not spoil what happens between our commercial breaks.
But I like to break the fourth wall.
Fucker, leave the fourth wall alone.
So, on to our main topic.
What can the comic book industry do to not suck anymore?
Thank you. Our topic is the top five things the comic book industry should do to grow the industry in 2015. I thought this would be a good topic, a good exercise in trying, you know, and, you know, a lot of times very grumpy about the industry. But again, there was a report towards the end of the year that said that the comic book industry grew in 2014, which is a good thing. So I thought we'd focus on what we feel they should do to grow the industry in 2015. Now, before we actually get into our views, I want to go over some of the views I posted on Facebook because we have pretty much the same friend list, and a lot of them are fans and fellow podcasters. And I asked them, you know, for their help, and let's get you guys to help. Me and my co-host Edwin of the Intergalactic Graphic Review Podcast will be doing a topic, top five things comic book industry should do to grow the industry in 2015. And we would like to get your guys' help on what you should be. And so a couple of our friends sent us comments. Donovan Morgan Grant, who you can hear on the Next Dimension Presidency podcast. His comment is more diversity.
Which nobody disagree with. Nobody will ever publicly disagree with unless you are a complete douchebag.
I'll get to this when I get to my views. I don't disagree with it, but there's a part of it that I think it should be... There's a way I think it should be done. It's not that I disagree with it. I think it should be done a certain way. I think that's where the disagreement comes. And then, of course, we have a comment from you saying how much you like the new title.
Don't read the topic to them. Just summarize.
J. David Weider, who you can hear on numerous podcasts, on 22 Freaks and on the Superman homepage. He says, offer low-priced books much like The Untold Tales of Spider-Man in the 90s. A line of good comics at a value price. What a gateway drug. As all these people have also established, comic book collecting is an addiction. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
So is anime.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Yeah. Shag, the irredeemable Shag, and damn it, that means I now have to get the Doctor Who theme out. He says, one, totally agree with J. David Weider.
Stop reading the topic summarize.
I am. He has a list.
So let's get to it.
I am getting to the list. Let me get through it. I'll get through it faster if you stop interrupting me. I totally agree with J. David Weider on low-price gateway comics. Two, get Comicology mobile purchases working again. Something is that it's not fixed. By fully integrating with Amazon, it would become the iTunes of digital comic distribution. Number three, he says, produce or continue to produce digital only or first books at very low price points. Best bet to tie these into movies, television shows, and then they list different shows. Number four, Marvel and DC to distribute digital size, digest size comics in grocery stores, Walmart, Target, following. Very expensive and challenging effort to do in the short term, but will pay off in the long term.
Which, cutting in again, which is one of those things I do talk about, because I do believe that I do call this kind of the modern manga method. Because one, you have your big books. You have your Superman, you have your Wonder Woman, you have your Batman. And then you use those to essentially lead people into the smaller books, that are the smaller stories that are piggybacking off of these. Your Firestorm, your Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Your All-Star Western.
Aaron Head Moss says, I agree. He agrees with David and Shag. He says, especially with Shag's point number four, get comics back out where the kids and audience is. You can find comics in bookstores, but with digital and even bookstores are going away the dodo, get them back in stores, Walmart, Target, local convenience store. The only problem is getting locations to give up some of their valuable shelf space for the low selling price of comics.
Which you could probably offset that with packaging it with something like candy or a toy or something.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing. They may be low selling, but if kids are coming in to buy comics, they'll probably also buy other stuff. So the comics will get them into your store, and they'll buy other stuff other than that. Then we have an interaction between you and Aaron, which leads to you telling a story about the Joker. I summarized it. And then we have our good friend, the magnificent one, Scott Gardner. Again, you can hear on 22 Freaks, Comic Book Monthly Mondays, Tales of the JSA, among other things. We'd be here all day if we list all his podcasts.
It's amazing how you can talk so well with Scott Gardner's dick in your mouth.
I am a slut, so you would expect me to be good at these things.
Though he does make some good points. Stop with the gimmicks, reboots, renumberings. Just, you know.
The events after events. Yeah. Whatever happened to just telling good, entertaining stories?
Which it makes sense, you know. You can't break a status quo that doesn't exist anymore.
I agree with that. Number four, embrace their heritage. One common denominator that comes up anytime I discuss comics with fans is the rich history and tapestry of these characters and their universes. Wiping that out or ignoring it to ride the coattails of a fad or a movie universe is short-sighted and limited. Lose the rock star creators. This one speaks for itself. I think this one speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Number two, make them affordable again.
I can and can't agree with that because, yeah, I could see where you're coming from, but at the same time, you're still offsetting the cost of producing the damn things, which granted, in the age of digital distribution, you can probably offset that just a little bit better.
And number one, he says, get the comics back in the hands of children. Kids can't buy what they don't see. No parent likes taking their kid into a dingy, unfriendly, intimidating place to shop. Comic shops, by and large, are not child-friendly places. Get the comics back onto stands in grocery stores and every corner drugstore like they used to be. I keep hearing how this won't work. Kids aren't interested, and so on. Well, they're not interested because they're not exposed to them. Get them out there where kids can see them, and if a quality product is being produced, kids will find them.
Now, same note, I work in a library, and kids are definitely interested in comic books. I do see the kids reading them.
Yeah.
So.
And by the way, just to finish this off, Scott also adds, don't piss off the fan base you've already got.
Which I always will disagree with.
Well, we'll see about that. So I guess that leaves us to our picks. And so how do you want to do this? Do you want to go alternating from five down to one, or do you want to go and then I'll go?
Let's vamp.
Let's alternate?
Yeah, let's alternate. Fine.
Okay. I'll let you go first, sir, because, you know, age before beauty.
then I'd go both times. Okay. Get comics back in the hands of kids. Yes. Kids need comic books. No matter how hard we try, we can make comic books all ages, but it's never going to, in the public's eye, be an adult thing. It's not going to be something that people see as the TV series. You could say that's kind of for adults. The movies you can make for adults, but the floppies themselves, and even in general, the vision of comic books is that this is a part of childhood. Now, you don't have to make it exclusively for childhood. I absolutely believe in all-age comics. I believe in all-ages entertainment. But by and large, comic books are a medium that attracts the imagination of children. It absolutely ties into their need to pretend and play and imagine. The superhero is a perfect archetype for that. And this insistence that it be for adults is insane. I mean, these are, by and large, also morality tales. If a kid, you know, then in a morality tale, you have two options. You have the example to be followed and the example to be learned from. And abandoning that was a mistake. So get them in the hands of kids. Make sure kids will want to read these books. You know, and like, I work in a library, so make a donation to a library. Send something to your, find your local library, have an order put in, and have it sent to them, and let the kids read comics.
The only thing I'll disagree on the storyline, because I don't completely disagree with you, but the only part I disagree is that I think what makes, because again, I recently posted on Facebook the other day a question about should superheroes be role models? And I think part of the point I was trying to get, because I was trying to see if anybody agreed with my point, which I didn't post, but because I didn't want to like preset it. But the point I was trying to get to is my belief is that superheroes are role models because of their individuality. And at the end of the day, I want writers to write the character, not write to be a role model.
Well, that's okay. You can do both. There's nothing saying you can't do both.
I agree with you. But there's a lot of people that will sit there and say that, well, if you want to write for kids, you can't have characters be married.
That's insane. That's the problem with us. Also the problem with the fan base. This is why I am vehemently anti the major fans, because they can only see. You know, they can't see how creativity works, how you can actually do one without they can't see how you can do both, but that way.
I agree with that. But I'm saying there's also it's also the rules, like you can't have a character look this way, you can't have, because it has to be a role model, so you can no sexuality, there's no drug use, you can't have this type of crime in there. And I disagree with that. I think it should be up to the creator. And if it's a good story, you know, I think there's a lot of kids who ended up not doing drugs because of that infamous drug issue in Spider-Man involving Harry.
Then there's also, those DC don't do drug things from the 90s where they had to replace Robin with some other guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying it's like, and mind you, I'm not saying that it should be said, well, this is for kids. I think it should be listed like this is PG. See, I think people forget that just because something's listed as PG-13 doesn't mean that a kid can't read it. What it means is you're a parent. Here, it's rated PG-13. Look over it, and if you think your kid can handle it, he can read it.
And even then, you know what? A lot of these things, you can use them as storytelling, as a means of breaking into an uncomfortable conversation. Mommy, yeah. What's Starfire doing with that man? Well, honey, when a man and a woman love each other very much.
Well, that might not be the best example. By the way, what are you, fishing for something?
No.
Because you're like away from your mic.
Hold on, let me see if I can fix that.
No, you're fine now.
Okay.
But it's not that like, you're like on the other side of the room. A couple minutes, like a moment ago.
That's weird.
No, but I think we both agree on this. It's just that when people use, let's make it for kids, I always want to be cautious with that because a lot of people use that as an example to place restrictions on storylines and on content.
Which I go against all the time.
Yeah. My number five, I agree. Let's get comics in digest form. In fact, I think it was a year and a half ago, I was actually talking to my comic book owner about the fact that how what I would love to see is I'd love to see, you know what? Let's get people in. So we're going to release these digests. Every month, we're going to pick a superhero. And it's going to be this digest that has, like, it'll have one original story, and it'll have a couple of, like, the best stories in its history. And we'll put these digests out in supermarkets and Targets and that stuff. And people will collect them. And it's like, this month it's Iron Man. This month it's Spider-Man. Or for DC.
I think, I mean, that's not bad, but that's definitely...
That's just an example, but overall, the digest format, as we were talking about.
I always, like I said, I think that, one, comic books are giant soap operas. So you want to keep that narrative flow going. You want a consistency. So have a book that is four books ongoing in one. And it's not like two pages or one pages, like whatever they were doing with Superman in the 90s.
Or better yet, you can do like, hey, we'll reprint these Batman stories. In particular, Batman in the 80s was very soap opera, or so I hear from my friends. And I really actually want to check it out. The whole, what was her name? I'm blanking on her name. But there's like a soap opera where there was a female villain who was in love with Batman. And she had an adopted brother who was in love with her. And so he was jealous of Batman. And
well, that really narrows it down.
And, of course, this is where Jason Todd was introduced. His parents ended up were acrobats. Surprise. And he was, like, initially redhead. And his parents were killed when they were helping Dick Grayson trying to hunt down Croc. And Croc killed him because at this time, Croc wasn't this, like, lizard monster. He was just a scaly mobster.
Which I think is my favorite interpretation of Killer Croc.
Yeah. My favorite interpretation is the one on Batman Animated Series that says, I got a rock.
Well, that's the scaly mobster.
I know. But let's be honest, in Batman the Animated Series, he was dumbed down a little bit from his original appearance.
Well, that was to give a variety of types.
Yeah. But yeah, you could. I think you could completely put that in a, what were we talking about?
Digest,
thank you. See how my brain works this early in the morning, folks? But, you know, you can put that in a digest or put older stories. And again, that could give people a sense of history as well as maybe some newer stories as well.
That's got to be at the back of the book, man.
Yeah. But it's also at the same point in time, I also look at the manga format. You know, go to Barnes & Noble and look how beautiful that manga section is and how many people are always over there. You do that with DC and Marvel books.
Yeah. And don't just go, Marvel Mangaverse, where we kind of crib the art style. No,
Hey, you know what? I pulled out my copy of Marvel Mangaverse because I have several issues of it.
Weeaboo.
What?
Nothing.
What was that? What was that, motherfucker?
Nothing.
That's what I thought, motherfucker.
You are not Samuel L. Jackson. You cannot use that word three times in a row.
English motherfucker! Do you know it?
Actually, we totally need to spread that rumor on the internet that if you say motherfucker three times in a row, Samuel L. Jackson will appear.
I hope so. I want his autograph. Leslie, I'll try it. Samuel L. Jackson, Samuel L. Jackson, Samuel L. Jackson. Damn it. No, dude, have you read the Marvel Mangaverse comic recently?
I read some recently?
Dude, Captain America makes a fucking Monty Python reference.
Oh.
There's Hulk, and Hulk's like Godzilla, and he's hopping around the city, and so the Avengers, which is Scarlet Witch, Vision, Hawkeye, and Captain America, and they get in this like giant like Iron Man-looking mobile giant robot to fight him. And Hulk, like, tears off one of the arms and, like, Hawkeye goes, like, he tore off her arm. And Captain America goes, but it is a flesh wound. I'm like, God damn it. They also make Star Trek references saying resistance is futile by the big bad villain. And he makes a Star Wars reference as well. It's an awesome comic. It really is.
Okay.
You still don't believe me, do you?
It's not that I don't believe you, it's that I'm just sitting there going, wow, you just fangasmed.
Yes, I did. It was really good, and so was the Spider-Man one, where he's a ninja. So, yeah, but no, I'm talking about in the sense of, like, you could put, like, you could do, like, these little digest forms of your major characters and actually reprint their entire publishing history in, like, a manga format. And I think it also, it would attract people on the standpoint of, like, oh, instead of this big book, here are these little books that will fit nicely and look nice on my bookcase.
Maybe. Maybe.
I think I mean to just hurt.
No.
Yes, but it's after the bell.
No. Actually, that's not a bad idea. Especially, granted, I don't think the manga form, or at least the tankobon format, will work as well for American comics. Mostly because of the amount of detail, actually. American comics.
But you can print it in black and white.
Color is a lot in American comics. It really is. I mean, to do it in that kind of a format, you have to start from very much scratch and change that much. You can't just...
Have you seen some comics in black and white?
I've seen comics in black and white, but they're written for black and white for the most part.
But I'm talking about, like, stuff in the 70s and early 80s. Was if you put it in black and white, it looks gorgeous and it's completely easy to follow.
Yeah, but you actually, that's the line art. Okay, we're having two different conversations.
Yeah, we're having two different.
Yeah, because you can't grayscale a modern comic and do that, but you can absolutely go back to the line art, and you could probably do that.
Yeah. So what's your number four?
I was going to go with the digest, actually. I was going to agree with you on that one.
So number four for you is digest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We were talking about it. Let's see now. Of course, get rid of... It can move on to another one, which is get rid of the goddamn, you know, stupid, the events.
Well, let me get to my number four, all right?
Okay.
So my number four is... And you ready for this? And I know this is going to be very hard for the comic book industry. And Donovan is going to yell out, it's never going to happen. Stop event comics!
And there's mine.
Every 4 months!
Mm-hmm. Let a status quo happen.
Let a status quo happen. And I'm not saying, oh, let's not have some big blockbuster event. It's fine to have, like, every summer we're going to have this big blockbuster event where there are crossovers. But it's really just this fun story. I'm talking about, though, the events to where it's Secret Wars, Secret Invasion, Civil War.
Dark Reign.
Dark Reign. What was Axis? What was before that?
I don't know. All I know is somehow they've systematically assessed...
X-Men versus Avengers. It's like there's always these events that change the world forever, and it seems like it's every 4 to 6 months.
You know what? And if you're going to keep doing that, stop calling them events. Stop pushing them as events. Call it this year's story.
Yes.
Just treat it like, okay, this is the story for this year. It's going to be X-Men versus the Avengers. Okay.
But more to the point is also the fact that part of the problem with this is they've got themselves stuck in this thing to where they have to do events. And until they stop doing events and reset, they're never going to get out of this. And it's sad because you can't run an industry just on events. Eventually, your entire fan base is going to blow out. In fact, there is a large portion of your fan base that has left because they are just drained. and burnt out on event after event after event after event after event.
I mean, these people have been escaping to the independent ones. They've been escaping the Image, you know, Invincible.
Yeah, right now, with event after event, Marvel and DC are doing more for the independent industry than they are for themselves.
Irredeemable pretty much owes its owes a lot of its success to the fact that nobody wants to read the others.
Well, but that being said, it is a good comic, and Mark Waid is a good comic book writer, even though I hated his part that he did with Black Cat.
Focus, focus.
Okay.
What?
I'm focusing, so that's my number three.
I don't like Irredeemable just because it ties into...
Number four.
Yeah, granted, it did sort of end on the whole thing of, like, Superman, but it buys into this whole thing that Superman is an impossible dream because he's just so inherently good, and a person with that power can't stay that way without being corrupted.
Yeah, but that's my number three. Stop the constant events.
Mm-hmm.
Give the industry a status quo to work with for at least a year, if not two or three.
Yeah. It's on number three. Well, let me move on to my number three. Expense. I understand that you have to offset cost of production. Find a way to make it cheaper. You're either appealing to your collectors, or you're appealing to people with a whole mess of disposable income. You are
or as I like to believe, they are trying to appeal to their stockholders.
Look, you're competing against video games, which granted, video games are $60 a pop. But if a kid has a choice between I'm going to save up my money and get a $60 video game that's going to give me hours of enjoyment, or I'm going to spend $3 on this thing that's going to potentially give me minutes of enjoyment, and once it's done, because, or even that, once it's done, I just have to wait for the next month to get the next installment of this gigantic trade paperback that's been cut apart into six pieces. You know. They're going to decide to pick the thing that they can keep returning to. So you
have... And then that's a kid thing, by the way, also. And I completely agree with you on it. I mean, again, as an adult, it's the other way. It's like, well, I can get 10 individual issues of 10 individual stories at the same price of a video game, and, you know, I'll be enjoyed for a good... And, yeah, I would rather have maybe 30 minutes of enjoyment, especially if it's good. I can keep coming back and reading it over and over again, as opposed to the video game.
Yeah.
But a kid is going to want the video game.
Yeah. Look, if you're going to write for a trade paperback, produce the trade paperback. Don't bother separating it. Produce the trade paperback. Put it out. Because, quite frankly, that's what you want. A comic book, there's something to be said for producing an ongoing story. But if your story is six parts for a trade paperback, it's just going to frustrate your readers. I know I'm frustrated because I don't want to spend the money on the individual monthly comics. I'd rather just wait and get the trade.
And some people are doing that. I also think it is in regards to what you're saying about them competing with video games. I also think a big part about that is promotion. You know, both of them said, well, we won't promote on TV. Well, you know what? That's where a lot of kids are going to find out about it existing. They don't know, yes, they know movies, but it would also help if, you know, you would promote local comic shops or places where they could find comics, like a Barnes & Noble like a Barnes & Noble. I was about to say Borders, but I forgot Borders doesn't exist anymore. And is there like is King Kong invading your room?
Maybe.
Because there's a lot of noise.
I'm pacing.
You're pacing. Because I'm boring you.
No, because I can't hold still that long.
But definitely, it's to a fact of where, you know, they could use a lot more promotion, I think, on television or even radio, for that matter.
You know, even something simple like going and affiliating yourself with, like, a local cartoon station and have promoting your comics on there. You don't have to promote a location. Promote your comic. You have We have Comixology. Work with it.
Yes.
Nick.com. I mean, that's where kids are going. They're going to the Nick.com. They're going to the YouTube. I sound like an old man. They're going to the YouTube. No. But they're going on YouTube. They're going on Nick.com. They're going on Hulu. Put a link there for your distribution.
Yeah, I mean, go to YouTube. Do a little 30-second clip like, this month in Marvel, this storyline, this storyline, this storyline.
Or hell, just say, hey, check out this superhero on sale now.
By the way, that's not my number three.
No, it's
my number three is something that Scott said. Stop with the rock star creators. Mind you, are there good creators that I love enjoying and love rating? Absolutely. But there's a lot of creators that completely mess up continuity and mess up your storylines and have very convoluted storylines where they basically, like, kill off characters so they can introduce their own characters, and they're basically doing this in the hope that, you know, when the movie gets made of the character, their character will get used so they can get that royalty check.
You're talking of the Dan Slott or the J. Michael Straczynski.
Well, J. Michael Straczynski is actually very good. He actually still keeps characters.
No, well, yeah, he's good, but I would still call him a rock star creator.
Yeah, well, he's a rock star creator, but I'm saying, for the most part, I'm talking about the bad rock star creators. I mean, if there is a writer who shows that he can focus on the story, now, yeah, hire him. But at the same point, there's people, Dan Slott. Why am I blanking on his name? I know everybody loves him, but and he did work, but like now, I'm blanking on his name.
Frank Miller?
Not Mike Miller. Well, Mike Miller, yeah, one of them.
I said Frank Mark Miller. Millar, Mark Millar, yeah.
Yeah.
Can we just stop giving him comic books to write?
No, I'm talking, he did work on Green Lantern. He's now like in charge of DC.
Grant Morrison? No.
No, no. Well, Grant Morrison's another one, but
I think
starts with an E.
What?
Starts with an E, I think.
Mark Ennis? Is
no.
Grant Ellis or something like that?
No. I'll have to look it up. Anyways, no, but I think going back to my point is I think there are rock star creators that, again, like I said, is that they mess up the continuity, they have very convoluted storylines, and it's really all about creating characters that hopefully will get used in a movie so that they can get that royalty check. And they're a lot of times they're very disrespectful to the fans, the legit fans that do honestly care about the industry.
I think I also think we need to kind of be more careful, because there's a lot of these, a lot of the regimes are now just bringing up fans from, like, ascended fans, fanboys.
And that's the part of the rock star thing, is that you have these regimes in Joe Quesada, and so only his rock star comic book friends, like Dan Slott and the like, they're the ones that get the top work and get to work on the top characters.
Yeah. It's like you guys are like, well, I grew up with this character, and I don't want him to change, or I want him to go back to how I was when I was a boy, and, you know, I want my fanfic to get promoted.
Yeah, it's why I said a couple years ago, I think part of the problem is that you have, not just the rock stars, but that they're fans. So you have fanboys writing the stories. You don't have actual writers like back in the day, J.M. DeMatteis, or
when people talk about the Golden Age, or when people talk about, you know, like when comics were great, these guys were not coming in there to be comic book writers.
Yeah,
they were writers that were essentially slumming it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking to people like Tom DeFalco, Roger Stern, Byrne. All these were writers first. They focused on, What's the story I can tell, and what's the next logical step? And how can I? And then when they figured it out, okay, so let me research continuity and see what I can do with that, and see if there's anything I can pull, and how do I connect this with the continuity, and so on.
And nowadays we have stuff like, now I'm blanking on names. We have Neil Gaiman,
yeah,
who's still in the industry. We had a great run from Tamara Pierce on White Tiger.
Yeah. But I was going to say, now you have people like Dan Slott, like the only time they seem to have any continuity in their comics is more or less, not so much continuity with the story, but hey, I brought this character in for continuity fan service porn.
And I'm
which I understand you like, and I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but when there's no story because they can't keep story continuity.
And I just flashed to Grant Morrison's Batman run.
Exactly.
Batman of Zur-En-Nah, because reasons. Which, granted, he worked really hard to just say, okay, everything in the Silver Age happened, and here's how. That's you have to respect that kind of work.
But yeah, Rockstar creators. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're number two.
Da-da-da-da. Let's see now. I'm working my way down the list. We just get back to fun stories. Let's remind people why they fell in love with comics. And oddly, I think in a lot of the way, like bring back maybe the All Ages line, or maybe integrate that into Marvel proper, because as we have right now, Tony Stark is essentially a supervillain. They flanderized him to the point where Stan Lee wanted you to have a character. They took everything Stan Lee did and amped it up to 1,000. So now Tony is just an awful human being. Meanwhile, the whole point was that, yeah, I'm going to make you love this guy that stands for everything you hate. And in, you know, the Marvel Ages line, Tony was, he's still an egotist, but he's a pretty likable egotist. And I think that's very much in line with what they're doing in the movies, where Tony is flawed, but you can't not, but he's actually a good person underneath it all.
He's a person that does the right thing when needed.
Yeah, and I think especially with things like Dark Reign and a lot of these attempts at being subversive, they've gotten away from this idea that these are people who do the right thing when they need to.
They're so focused on sometimes trying to prove that comic books are a legitimate art form, because we're going to get to that in a second, by the way. Elitists and people like that submit that, oh, well, legitimate storylines are dark and broody.
They're nerds. Like, it's, I've heard this a lot about the Power Ranger fandom, and I think it applies to comic books. It's this idea that they are high school age kids that want to be taken seriously. They're like teenagers. They're like, I want to be validated. I want to be cool. So I'm going to do.
But the same thing. It's the same thing that almost destroyed the anime industry, because I have the opinion that from 2005 to 2009, the anime industry lost its way because it tried to be more international and tried to appeal more to the American fan base. And as such, they promoted products that had more dark and broody storylines, because the idea is that, well, that's what Americans like. And why? Because teenagers thought that would get them more respect, because, oh, well, people respect dark and broody storylines, you know, because happy storylines are seen as childish. And that's just wrong.
People mistook darkness for gravitas.
Yes. And they forget that the people making these rules are elitists. They're the same people that got pissed off when Watchmen won that literary award and literally created an alternate category so a comic book could never challenge an actual book again, which is bullshit. Because a comic book can be just as intelligent or intellectual as any book.
Stop, you're falling into the trap.
No, I'm not. And I'm saying is that it doesn't need to be dark to be intellectual and intelligent.
It doesn't need to be that either. It just needs this idea that a book needs to be intellectual or anything. A book needs to be entertaining. A book needs to engage its audience. If you can do that, everything else is... Because I have seen Ghetto Lit, and I have seen just how explosively popular that is. And it speaks to its audience, and as much as I hate it, it does what it needs to do. Therefore, a book, you don't need to compete. You just need to know your audience and play to them. And if you can do something great at the same time, great.
Yep.
Yeah.
I guess that goes to me for my number two, and I kind of brought him up. Stop trying to appeal to elitist social warriors and people who say that they're comic book fans and are not.
You can't define who is a comic book fan and who isn't.
Not trying to define... Okay, no. Let me finish on this. I'm talking about the hipsters. I'm talking about the people who say, oh yeah, I like Spider-Man because they bought a shirt, they've never read the comic book. I'm talking about the people that want the comic book industry to, you know, change the characters to suit what they like. I'm talking about the people who won't read a character because they don't look and act exactly like them. Again, this is where I bring in diversity. These people want, let's turn Captain America black because it will be symbolic and it'll represent the change in our culture. Captain America shouldn't be just turned black just for a symbolic reason. If there's a story behind it, fine, there's a story behind it. I mean, I don't have a problem with the recent Falcon becoming Captain America. There's a storyline behind it, but at the same point in time, it's Captain America lost his powers again for the 52,000th time.
Which, granted, if this stays, I'm kind of okay with that. Just change that suit.
But as far as diversity, because Don brought up diversity, I said that the proper way to do it is through new characters. Because we should be creating new superheroes. And we can use Ms. Marvel is a perfect example. Again, I would like maybe more original and not have to leech off another superhero's name. But again, that's branding.
Oh my god, I love that little girl.
But she's a great example of a new superhero that has diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be creating new and unique superheroes with new superpowers, maybe different superpowers that we hadn't seen before, and we can put diversity into that.
Well,
what we should be doing is changing old characters and now making them into, making them black or making them gay or whatever. Because, we want to sell this character that we've had long ago and nobody remembers them, so we can change them. Very rarely does it work. I think one of the one in few times where it actually did is Blade.
Mm-hmm. I do agree with you. Mind you, I think with the Kamala Khan thing, what she is more of an example of what they turned Miss Marvel into is when they made...
They made Miss Marvel Captain Marvel.
Yeah, and therefore they made Miss Marvel now the legacy character.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as Young or Superboy in that she's now a legacy character, which I love. Marvel never stopped doing
that. I'm not saying I hate the character. I'm not saying.
I'm just saying. I love the idea that Marvel's finally started doing legacy characters, like with Kate as Hawkeye, or American Dream.
But at the same point in time, I would like to see new superheroes, because legacy isn't necessarily Marvel's game. That's DC's game. It's part of the things that I think that makes each universe unique. And I would love to see, as far as diversity is concerned, I would love to see new characters and new superheroes with new powers that maybe we haven't seen before. That being said, it goes back to those social warriors they complain about everything. Let's use the obvious. They complain about Power Girl's boob window. That's all they seem to complain about, And when it gets cut, and when the new Power Girl costume got premiered, it was this victory for women everywhere, and that's not what comics are about. You're missing the exact point about what comics are about. And it goes into this also counterpoint I'll bring into this. There should not be politics in comics. Because it's not part of what makes comics fun. Nobody is coming to read comics to have a political point shoved down their throat.
Which is why we're getting a Civil War movie.
Exactly. But again, I would argue that Civil War, I'm not going to say it was more subtle, because there was nothing subtle about it. But it did ask an honest storyline. And it wasn't so much political as it made itself, I felt, in a way to where it asked you what was right. Because when I read the Civil War comic, I never felt like one side was, like the writer took one side over the other. He was allowing you to take which side you would want. And that's why I thought it was very creative. And that's fine. But there shouldn't be a political point to a character's design change or a storyline or anything to where a political point is shoved down people's throats.
Unless it's like, you know, well, at least it shouldn't be so drastic, but, you know, if you got a character that is essentially in blackface all the time and is kind of a caricature, changing that for the better is probably good.
Well, is it all for comedy? Is it a dark humor character?
Well, it was like Luke Cage in the 70s. Yeah, well, Luke Cage in the 70s to Luke Cage today. It's a good change.
That's a good change. But again, it probably came through story.
It came because the values of the writers changed. I mean, it was a perfectly parodied from Icon with Buck Wild or Buck Wild something man or whatever.
But I guess going back to my point, again, these social justice warriors that want comics to somehow be the symbolic representation of cultural change. It's not the point of comics. And the fact of the matter is, the reason comic book creators are changing it because they think, oh, well, we'll get them to read comics now. But they're not reading comics. They have no intention on reading comics. They just want to get you to change something in the comics so that they can hold it up as symbolic change. It is complete politics. And it hurts the industry.
Now, this is in no way to discount those fans that do want change and are reading the comics.
I'm sorry, this idea, well, you can't declare who's a fan, but you know what? There is something to be said for paying your dues. I didn't start collecting until 2007. And mind you, I'm not saying that we should say, oh, you can't be a comic. Anybody is open to be a comic book fan. But I am saying there are people who are coming into it who have no intention on wanting to be a comic book fan. They're coming in for alternate reasons, saying that they're comic book fans when they're not. I'm talking about there is legitimate people who want to become comic book fans, and you know what? They pay their dues. They actually go out, they do research on characters, they try to find out about characters, they search for back issues, and they go and they read trades. That's what I did.
And who sets the bar for when that's enough?
Well, just doing a little of that, showing that you're willing to do the legwork is fine.
And what about the casual fan? I'm not a hardcore. I don't go in and do the research.
But casual fans aren't demanding that the industry change for them.
You don't know that.
But they're not. They're not social justice warriors. They're not the ones who are going and demanding that the characters look exactly like them for to like it. Yes, are there casual fans? Absolutely. There are people who just watch the movies. But that's all they care about is the movies. They don't sit there and say, well, I'm going to read the comic book now. They may go to a library, they may see a graphic novel, like, oh, it's Spider-Man, I like Spider-Man, I'll pick it up and read it. They read it and they're done with it for, like, the next year. We're not talking about the fans that do the work and the fans that actually care about the industry. We're talking about people who are trying to use the industry to fulfill their own political and psychological gratification.
Okay.
Does any of that make sense?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to make as best sense I can. I think there is something to be said for paying one. Is it a hard line to gauge? Absolutely, when somebody's paid their dues.
But that's what you're talking about. I deal with this all. My wife deals with this all the time, becoming a scientist, and this idea that it's almost this enclosed community where you have to earn your way into it. It's not inclusive. It doesn't make it easy for people to move into the community. You know, that's it's almost it becomes almost a club that you need to somehow prove your way into.
But at the same point in time, it's very frustrating when you have people who have never read a comic book who sit there and think that they know everything about Spider-Man above you. And you're the one who's reading the book. And it's really frustrating when you have an industry that wants to pander to people who have no intention on reading a book and never have read a comic book.
At the same time, it's perspective. Sometimes, and I've definitely seen this, it's people, especially a lot of fans, don't have perspective on things because they're used to iconic imagery or they're used to this. So they can't step back and see how incredibly flawed something is and how sometimes something can be better. That doesn't mean that you need to drastically change some things all the time. And I definitely am I'm definitely annoyed by a lot of the behavior of a lot of these people because they are very dismissive of other fans. But sometimes you need that a dissenting opinion to really move a character forward.
That's fine, but that's not what's going on, though. They're saying this has to change because this is sexist, or this has to change because this is racist.
Well, there is a ridiculous
this idea
lack.
That basically the girl now has to be the one to throw the last punch because it's symbolic. It shouldn't matter who throws the last punch and saves the day. The point is that a female can be just as much inspired by a male hero as she can by a female hero, and vice versa. So it shouldn't matter who the character is. The focus should be on, this is the character, this is who they are, so let's write the character to the best of the ability, knowing the continuity.
And you know what? You say a lot of should, but the problem is the world isn't working on should. And that's
okay. I know, but again, But the point of this conversation is to talk about what they should be doing.
That's true.
That's the whole point of this topic. So that's why I'm saying that. Do I think it's probably going to happen? No. But again, that's the point of why we're talking. We're talking about what they should do. So I think with that, let's move on to our top picks. So what's the number one thing that you think the comic book industry should do in 2015 to grow the industry?
I think they need to embrace the media. I think that we need to get things like the Marvel Discourse anime into the shores in the U.S.
Yes. Why isn't that here yet?
It's absolutely ridiculous that hasn't been adapted.
And so it's basically a Digimon version of Marvel Universe, and yet it's better than any of the Marvel cartoons that are out right now.
So you finally admitted that Ultimate Spider-Man is crap?
Oh, I told you that Ultimate Spider-Man is crap. Spectacular Spider-Man, on the other hand, it was very good.
Oh my god. Ultimate Spider-Man is so awful.
Okay, but again, have you seen Spectacular Spider-Man?
No, that was actually past my cartoon. Unfortunately, my Saturday morning cartoon point. I think it was working when that was on.
Okay, but Ultimate Spider-Man came after Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah, and I managed to catch that once, and that was a mistake.
Okay. I highly suggest you can probably find it on YouTube. Not that I should do it. Again, because it's Greg Wiseman. It's the same person behind Gargoyles.
Oh. And Young Justice.
And Witch.
See, you had me going with Gargoyles and Young Justice.
Hey, what's wrong with Witch?
I tried to get into Witch. I really didn't. It just did not.
Maybe it just wasn't your taste, but Gargoyles and Young Justice, he knows how to do superheroes.
Yeah, he does.
And he really does. I highly suggest it. I mean, hell, that was the first podcast I ever did, was reviewing every episode of that series.
Which series?
That's what Spectacular Webs is. It's us reviewing every episode of the Spectacular Spider-Man animated show.
I think my big problem is I hate that art style.
I enjoyed it. And there's another conversation against it that I'm not going to get into that. Because then we'll really be here another 50. So, but yeah, I completely agree with you. Media, as you were saying.
Yeah. I mean, we're living in the internet age. We're living in the age where TV, everything ties into each other. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. That's, you've been doing good. It's been helping you out. Keep doing that.
I think, you know, again, they're doing that. Again, they have the series that's going to put on Netflix. But my thing that I think would add to that is, again, where they really need to pick up is promotion, as in commercials, whether it be on the internet or on TV. Hell, even maybe a 30-second commercial before the start of your movies in the theater of, you know, after you're done watching The Amazing Spider-Man, go pick up these Amazing Spider-Man trades at your local comic book shop or Barnes & Noble.
Or,
why would that be so hard?
Or Comixology, Amazon. Go for the, exactly. Go for the places that aren't going to creep out your audience.
Well, I'm going to bring up comic book shops in my next one. So are you finished with your...
Yes.
Or do you have more? Okay.
No, I'm pretty much done.
So here's my number one. Let us rebuild what the comic book shop is. Right now, most... And don't get me wrong. I love the little dark comic book shops. They're fun. It is, in a own way, an adult hangout. And, you know, I do kind of feel at home with them. But at the same point, I'm currently... My current comic book shop that I go to is called All Things Fun. And it's this open space comic book shop. It has all these windows that light comes in. It's square. Mind you, a lot of it is taken up by tables because there's a lot of gaming going on there.
Yeah, we need to separate that. I'm sorry. I mean...
I do agree. We do need to separate that in its own way. But at the same point in time, they have the shelf, comics, and they have, great paperbacks, and they have toys and everything. But the fact of the matter is, this is very open, very bright space, and families like taking their kids to it. That's what the new modern comic book shop needs to be.
As opposed to, you know, a bunch of prospectors going, close the light! The sunlight degrades the comics!
Yes.
You're not getting your investment back. Just let people read the damn comic.
Yeah. And by the way, you better take... If you still have Superman number 75 in your poly bag, please, for the love of God, take it out now before the acid eats through that comic.
Man, that's just a thing. Read your comics. Don't collect them.
Yeah. But the thing I was going to get to is, I mean, I agree with you on separating the gaming, but at the same time, if it's a big enough space, I think there's room for both. But if it's a small space, yeah, get rid of it. But either way, regardless, it needs to be this open space. Comic book shops need to be these bright, that let light in, and these bright, inviting spaces. And to add to that, Marvel and DC and the entire industry. But I think the whole point to it is that, again, let's get the comic book companies to jump in here and to, you know, work with the shops, promote the shops. You know, why can't we get a Marvel store?
Oh, my God, that would be so cool.
You know what? I mean, there's a Disney store. Let's get a Marvel store or a DC store.
Wait, hold on. Marvel's part of Disney.
Yeah, I know.
Disney owns Marvel. This should not be hard. Put your Marvel stuff in a Disney store.
Yeah.
Pick a section. Put some spin racks up there. Put your comics with the Iron Man DVDs and the Guardians of the Galaxy and your figures. Pimp that shit.
But again, let's make comic book shops the spot for people to hang out. Because that's part of it. People just don't want to go to buy stuff. They also want to hang out and meet people and talk and socialize. I know that's a very scary word for a lot of fans. Socialize.
No, socializing, they socialize. But they socialize internally. That's the problem.
I'm talking about socializing externally.
Yes. Talk to non-comic fans. Learn what they have to say.
And teach people. You know, I was talking about fans before. There are fans that want to learn. I used to love listening to comic book fans tell me about the history. That's why I love, you know, yes, I'm a slut, and I pimp Scott and Mike. all the time. But the reason is because I learned so much listening to their podcasts. That's why I listen to their podcasts, because they are older fans. They've been collecting longer than I am. And the fact of the matter is, I learned a lot from listening to them.
Thomas remembers fondly, you know, as a child in his footsie pajamas, curling up at the base of Michael Bailey's recliner, and listening to him tell of the JSA comics of old. And the
I'm going to hurt you so much. I really am.
Oh, come on. All the kids loved sitting at the foot of their grandpa and listening.
Yeah, that. I do agree with that. But my point is, you know, let's make the comic book shop a place for people to socialize, a place where people want to go to. Because when people want to go to a place, they're ultimately going to spend money there in some form or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're going to socialize, they may try a new comic and find that they like it.
Hmm.
So I think the number one thing we should do is redefine what the comic book shop is and rebuild it. And I think if we can focus on that, we can get people back in the stores. I don't think that the brick and mortar stores are doomed. I think people completely underestimate.
I think that they're doomed if they continue down the road they're going.
I agree. But at the same point in time, I think people underestimate the fact that people love to have a physical item in their hands. Digital is all good, but at the same point in time, people like to have a physical thing in their hands.
Yes and no.
They like to look at something before they buy it, like physically.
Yes, people love that. People do like that. I mean, they do like having a physical thing, but at the same time, they don't want to have a physical thing taking up space. So I do believe, granted, yeah, I mean, we have our collectors who have their, you know, there are long boxes and that, but I think we need to stop treating comic books as something you collect.
I'm not even saying collecting, though.
No,
I know,
but part of the thing with the modern comic book shop and the modern comic fandom is that we're still in the speculator boom for some reason. We still treat these as a thing you collect.
Well, I don't collect them because, mind you, I have a lot of boxes.
You don't. I don't. But I know a lot of fans who still treat
them. I do collect, but I don't collect because I think I'm going to sell them one day. I collect because I like stories, and I just like the idea of collecting a book. I like going to a 10-cent box and, like, trying to find a little treasure that I'll enjoy reading.
Where are you going? Where are people going that they have 10-cent boxes?
I actually haven't been to one, but I know, like, there are stores. I've heard people say, I have a 10-cent or I have a quarter box.
I live in Brooklyn. I have never heard of this. Audience, please. If you live in the Brooklyn area or the New York area, in the five boroughs area, comment. Tell us where these things are, because I would love to not have to spend $3 for a comic book. I don't care about the dubious quality.
I would ask our good friend Gerard. In fact, I would, after this podcast, message him on Facebook and ask him.
Fascinating.
Well, yeah, but that's pretty much my view.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we need to treat them like magazines. You know, treat them like something you can get, read, dispose of, and you're good. Recycle them. Which might mean.
Recycle them by giving them to a comic to give them to somebody else.
There's that, or you can simply put them in the recycling bin. There is nothing wrong with that. Because you want again.
I don't know if I agree with that.
That's the collector mentality. People want to have a thing in their hand, but they don't want it taking up space in their house. Unless you have a dedicated space like your Michael Bailey's.
Why do we keep bringing his name up?
Because this is the podcast I listen to, and I've seen pictures of that room of long boxes.
Well, you could just as easily say Shag or Scott Gardner.
I've not seen pictures of their walls.
Okay. Anybody we listen to. Mike, I expect our check in the mail.
Leave the man alone.
You leave the man alone.
He works in retail. He doesn't need to give us money.
Anyways. God damn it. So I think that's it for this episode. I think we'll end. Do you have any suggestions of comics that you picked up over the past?
I just finished Superman Secret Origin.
Oh, you just got loud.
Sorry. So I finished Superman Secret Origin, and I actually did enjoy it a lot. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was gonna. I've also discovered a comic book company for kids called Udon Comics, and they're manga for kids. Their website is mangaforkids.com. And they have a few very cute things, actually. It's good introductory material for young kids who want to read manga. They have two books I've read. One is Swans in Space, which is an incomplete girls' gag comic about these two girls who work for a space police force who travel around in uniforms that are somewhat not embarrassing, but to the main character they are. And they ride around in what looks like a swan boat. And the other one is Ninja Baseball Kuma, which is about a boy who is a ninja in the mountains who joins a junior high school baseball team. And I'm actually just about to start Ninja Baseball Kuma today.
For me, Supergirl, I think it's one of the most underrated comics right now out there, along with Red Hood and the Outlaws. So those two I can't suggest enough. Teen Titans I think has been getting pretty good as well.
I hear Red Hood and the Outlaws and I get mad a little bit because it's not a hood. It's Red Helmet and the Outlaws.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's a helmet.
Moving on, Godzilla, I'll suggest, because it's been really good, and if you're a fan of giant kaiju, you'll enjoy it. And that's, I think, about it for my suggestions.
When does Godzilla fight Cloverfield?
All right, now he's about to fight, I think, Space Godzilla.
That is the stupidest name.
What the Japanese fucking named him.
That doesn't excuse the fact that it's an awful name. Godzilla versus Space Godzilla!
And Megaguirus is there, too. And apparently the new Mothra and Batra are going to be there, too.
Oh, I almost forgot about that thing. There is a Hideki Anno, the guy behind Evangelion. He has an online sort of animation thing that he's doing. It's a limited type system.
Yeah,
but if anybody remembers the show Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad,
yes.
One of the shorts they produced was the Gridman short, and that thing was beautiful.
I still have to check it out. So that is it for this episode, an intergalactic graphic review, or as we'll probably call it, the Michael Bailey show. For how many times God damn brought up his fucking name.
If you blow in a whistle, he appears from, like, Ambassador Magma.
Oh, no, no. So you want to tell people where they can find you, Edwin?
I have no website right now. I still have to edit a podcast after I get my computer not broken anymore, considering it's been broken since August. But I have nothing right now. So if you want to find me, tough. I like my privacy.
Well, I'll tell you his home address. His home is 1-800-KISS-MY-ASS.
Shield your home, the Kiss My Ass shields.
And of course, you can find me in all the places you can. If you have any comments for this show, you can email us at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Facebook. And, of course, you can find us at the website where you can leave comments at www.an.132productions.com. Also, check out all the other 132 Productions content, including right here on the Absolution Network, including Tom's Prerogatives, CMG's Wrestling Reviews, Tom's Top 10, Shin Dagger Girls Wrestling, and video game videos, along with John Ramos' Toku Apocalypse. He He started a new series based where he's reviewing every issue, or basically giving synopsis of every episode of the Japanese Spider-Man series.
Change which, Leah Pardon!
I thought you liked that. And of course, there's comic book. And then, of course, there's Comic Book Crazy, which you can find at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. It also features Hexcast and Spectacular Webs. And, of course, my Godzilla podcast, Tokyo SOS, that you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And, of course, make sure you check out all our friends. And usually this is the part where I say their names. But, God damn it, we've been saying their names all show long.
Scott Gardner. The Irredeemable Shag. Michael Bailey. Jeffrey Taylor.
And, of course, we can't forget our good friend Spidey Dude over at Clone Saga Chronicles. So, yeah, check them out.
Hey, wow.
And that is it for this episode of the Intergalactic Graphic Review. Until next time, my intergalactic travelers.
Get the fuck out.
No, no. Better yet, just stay cool.
Go to Freddy.
Digging up flicks since the age of six. Digging my kicks. Digging on the comics. Guess I still dig 'em when I'm 6x6. Digging my kicks, digging on the comics. I like to save 'em and I like to trade 'em. I read 'em, I need 'em. I'm living every page. Every time I pass a comic book counter, I can't help myself. I go into a rage.
I guess we should stop that from a... We should start from the top of the return.
Yes! See what happens when you mention pornography? It gets dropped. Fucker.
You know, when you mention pornography, it drops. Fucker.